My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. David had a very difficult life at times. He had a very favoured life at times. And if we look at ourselves and at our lives, which part of David's life do we think we fit into? Is it the favoured part or the terrible part? For me, my life seems to be a catalyst for disaster. Not just for me, but for other people as well. And sometimes it's really difficult to find hope in a bad situation. But we do have rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. And salvation, as I was reading this and preparing this, salvation isn't just about coming to God. It isn't just about saying that you believe in Jesus. It isn't just about giving your life to him. He is salvation all the way through my life. He rescues me from things that go wrong. He protects me from things that go wrong. He gives me strength to get through things that go wrong. If we think about a refuge and a fortress, we think about strong towers, we think about shelter, being rescued, being protected, a refuge. Can you look back over your life and think back to the times when things were so bad or so hard that the only thing you could do is rest in God? This is meant to be a hopeful encouragement. A time when we can sit back and relax into God's presence, knowing that he will protect and that he is there for us. My soul needs to rest. And I can only find that in God. He alone is my rock. He's the only solid, constant thing. He's my fortress, my refuge, my shelter. And in that I have strength and I can say, I will never be shaken. I will never be shaken. But do I have the courage to stand up and be that person in real life? When people come against me or come against us, when people say things, do we have the courage and the hope in God that he will be our rock to say, well, actually, I don't think that. Actually, I don't like that language because it offends me. Actually, could we please not talk about that because it upsets me? Do we have the courage and the faith and the hope that God will be there? Sometimes it's too embarrassing, isn't it, to stand up in an office and say, actually, can we just stop this talk because it's disgusting? Can we just stop this language? Sometimes it's harder to actually do the things and to actually to actually get it out there rather than just say in our hearts, I know that God is my rock. But we all have that little tiny, tiny ray of hope. Whatever is happening, whatever we find ourselves, wherever we find ourselves in life, we have been granted a flicker of hope. David goes on to say, how long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Do you feel like a tottering fence tonight? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. It's returning to the real world, isn't it? It's returning to the office or places that we go to. But deep down, we should be able to find rest. Rest in God. In our fortress. Rest in our salvation. Rest in the shelter of his arms. Where do we find rest? We can find it only in God. And our hope comes purely from him. He alone is our rock and salvation. He alone is our fortress. There's nothing else out there. As most of you know, I have a difficult time with finances. And a few years ago, I was encouraged to put my pension into a deal. I got it all checked out, and it was a very good deal. And I got some really... I did get professional help with sorting it out. And so I put my money into some trees. And it was all a scam. So all of my pension pot is gone. But do you know, I can't put my trust in money. I've never had any. I can't put my trust in money. But I can put my trust in God. And he has promised me faithfully that he will not leave me. That he will not let me go. He has promised that he loves me. And that he cares about me. And I can rest knowing that my pension pot is now completely empty, but knowing that God will protect me. And I don't actually worry too much about it because I'm trusting in God. Because he is my rock. And although things sometimes are like I said tonight, I was frazzled. We can come in here and we can relax into God's presence because we have a hope. You know, when David wrote this psalm, we don't know what was happening to him at the time. But David had such a trust and such a hope in God. And God to David was someone whose name he couldn't speak. We have the promise of Jesus. We have the knowledge that God sent his son to save us because he loved us. David didn't have that. And yet he can still say, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. We know where our salvation comes from. We know that our salvation comes from Christ. We know that on the cross, our sins were taken away. We know that he is our rock. He carried everything for us. He's our salvation and our refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. I'm going to encourage us in a little while to have a time of prayer. And I want us to be open and to pray. Pray with somebody who's next to you or go and find somebody who you'd like to pray with. But just be open, just for a couple of minutes, about things that are bothering us. We're all included, me included. But just to let things go. Let's really start to trust and to hope in God as our Saviour. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard. You, O God, are strong. You, O Lord, are loving. He is so loving that he sent his son. is so strong, and Jesus carried it through. This is only meant to be a short talk, and I just wanted to express how important it is to have that hope. Just that tiny, tiny flicker of hope. It doesn't matter what things are going on around us. It doesn't matter what situations we find ourselves in. Because we do have that hope. And we have that faith. And that knowledge. We have more knowledge than David had. And he could write psalms like this. We go through totally different things in our life to what David did. But we can have that hope. We have the same hope as him, but we have a stronger hope because we've seen the fulfillment of things that were not even really thought of here. We have that hope in Christ, and we have that knowledge that he's there for us. We're going to have a short time of prayer. And I want us to be open and to express our hopes. To express how we want to be in Christ. Do we want to be nervous? Do we want to be worried? Or do we want to be relaxed and know where we stand in Christ? I want people to know that I stand on Christ. I stand on the promises in here. When Sally, my sister, was buying a house, she had a lot of problems in Manchester with her partner. And to escape, she came over here. And she had to put her house on the market, and the four children came to live with me while she put the house on the market. And then she came over, and we were house searching. And she had come to an understanding. And a real point in her life when she was trusting God. And I remember finding the house that she wanted and going through all sorts of ridiculous hoops to try to get it. And I remember one day there was a tree outside and it was blowing in the wind. And it reminded me of the verse where it says, "And the fig trees shall clap their hands." And I said to Sally, "We have to stand on the promises of God." And she picked up the Bible and she stood on it. And she said, "I'm standing on the promises of God, and he will not let me down." And she stood there and we prayed together. And then we went into the house. And the surveyor had been round in the morning and he said, "It's highly unlikely to be able to have it because of the mine shaft." And she said, "I don't care what you say because I know that God has promised me this house and he'll let me have it. And I'm standing on God's promises. So, it doesn't matter what you write and what your report says, because I know that God has said that this is my refuge, this is my place, this is where I will be safe and where he will protect me." And a bit later on we had a phone call and I answered the phone and this voice said, "Can I speak to Mrs. Layden, please?" I said, "Yes, who's calling, please?" And it was the surveyor. And he said, "It's the surveyor." I said to Sally, "It's the surveyor, Sal." And she said, "I can't take it, I can't take it." So I said, "She's busy at the moment. Can I take your message?" And he said, "Are you the sister?" I said, "Yes." He said, "All right, okay. Can you tell her?" He said, "That I stopped in a lay-by." He said, "And I have to have this report in by 5 o'clock tonight." He said, "I stopped in a lay-by and I thought, In all honesty, I can't let her have the house. I can't do it, because there is a mineshaft. He said, and I pulled all my papers out and started to sign. He said, and I read them and I signed that everything was okay. He said, I believe in God. He said, and I believe that when she stood on the promises of God, that was the right thing for her. And then she professed it. And she said to me, I'm standing on the promises of God. She got the house. There's never been any sign of a mineshaft. And when we did do investigations later, before she actually bought it, it was found that the mineshaft had been capped off and it was safe. But against all regulations, against all hope, she was granted the home and the house that was her refuge and her strength and her fortress for the time that she needed it. Let's have that hope. Let's be strong in our hope and trust that God is our protection, that he is our refuge, and that he will never do anything to harm us. Let's pray together. Thank you.